Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Matthew chapter 24, verse 28. While his first coming was quiet, humble, and obscure, the Lord Jesus tells us that his second coming will be dramatic, cosmic, and very obvious. The first advent was in a little town of Bethlehem. The second advent will happen in all the skies. He says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." And then, in the following verse, we find this mysterious phrase, a phrase that does not seem to fit Jesus' discourse about the end time. Verse 28, "Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." This verse has given headaches to many commentators, but we'll see that its meaning is not that hard to grasp. Once we understand how Jesus thinks and teaches, it becomes easier to have insight into his words. So in this lesson, we'll study Matthew chapter 24, verse 28. "Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." That is a translation of the New American Standard Bible. If you look at other versions, you might notice that the word vultures is absent. Instead, you find the word eagles. For example, in the New King James Version, we read, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Why two different words? Well, this is explained by the fact that the Greek word aitos can mean either vulture or eagle. In studying the scriptures, it is always important to take into account the parallel passage when it exists. And the parallel passage to Matthew chapter 24, verse 28 is Luke chapter 17, verse 37. And this is what we read. "And they answered and said to him, 'Where, Lord?' So he said to them, 'Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together.'" When we compare these two passages, we observe some differences. But the differences are really minor. Matthew has "wherever," whereas Luke has simply "where." Matthew has the word "corpse" instead of "body" in Luke. Concerning the words "vultures" and "eagles," they seem to be used interchangeably by the translators. And for the verb "to gather," sometimes the passive tense is used, and in other times the active tense is used, depending on which translation we take. These differences do not affect the basic meaning of the two sentences. Intuitively, we feel that they mean pretty much the same thing, whatever that meaning is. Now, if you know Greek, you'll be surprised to see that the words are quite different. And you also discover that the two sentences are very different in what they aim to say. The key to the difference of these two verses lies in Greek in the word "body." Body in Luke and corpse in Matthew. The word "body" in Greek is soma, a term that is familiar to us. We all know, for example, the term psychosomatic. There you have the word "psycho" from the Greek word for mind, and then you have soma, which means body. Psychosomatic expresses the influence of the mind on the body. When a doctor says that a symptom is psychosomatic, he means that it is caused by the mind or the spirit rather than by physical disorder. So the word in Luke is soma, for body. The word in Matthew is ptoma, for corpse. These are two very different words. Concerning the word body, the English language is not very precise because it does not tell you whether the body is alive or dead. It can refer to a living body as well as to a dead body. But it is not so with the Greek language. Soma in Luke always refers to a living body. Ptoma in Matthew always refers to a dead body. That distinction is crucial. Unless we grasp this point clearly, this passage will remain a mystery to us. This is important for our understanding of the communion, for example. Remember Jesus' words, "This is my body, soma, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Luke chapter 22, verse 19. "My soma is given to you," Jesus is saying. "What I'm giving you is a living body, not a corpse. If you eat this living body, you will live." The same idea applies to the concept of the church. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. The soma, not the corpse. The church is meant to have the life of Christ, and this life is to be communicated to the world. Now we're ready to see the vital difference between Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 17. We should not think that Matthew and Luke are simply repeating each other. They complement each other, but say something quite different. What do they say? First, we have to deal with the question of vultures. As we have mentioned earlier, the Greek word aetos can mean vultures as well as eagles. Vultures and eagles belong to the same family of birds, but they are very different animals. The most obvious difference is probably this. A vulture goes for the ptoma, for the corpse. The eagle does not take corpses. The eagle is interested only in soma, in living bodies. This is very important to keep in mind. When we understand that one passage talks about corpses and the other about the living body, then we also know that one talks about vultures and the other about eagles. Everybody knows that there's a fundamental difference between these two birds. Eagles are birds of prey. Unless they're starving, by choice, eagles do not eat corpses. They always go for living animals like rabbits, raccoons, squirrels, or marmots. With their sharp vision and their speed, they hunt for live prey. If they see a dead body, they will not go for it. The vultures, on the other hand, are scavenging birds of prey. They go for dead bodies. They will not chase a living animal. Sometimes they might kill a wounded animal or wait patiently until it dies. Then they go for it. But primarily, they are interested in carcasses. Physically, there is a great resemblance between vultures and eagles. It is perhaps because of their close resemblance that the Greek language does not have a distinguishing word for the two. It has only one word for vultures and eagles. They are simply regarded as all members of the eagle family. But their instinct and their character are entirely different. Notice another point of resemblance. In a sense, the dead body and the living body look alike a lot. both are bodies. You see a dead body and you might think that it is sleeping. If it is asleep, it is a living body. So in many ways, the living body and the dead body are alike, except for the big difference that one has life and the other does not have life. And because a dead body and a living body can be externally quite similar, it takes discernment to tell if the body of a person is alive or it is dead. It takes some close examination. You might need to check the pulse on the wrist or on the neck of the person. You may want to put your ear on his chest to verify if the heart is beating. You might have to put a mirror near his nose to see if there is condensation. So it takes a certain perception to know whether a body is dead or whether it is alive. Now here is the beauty of the Lord's language. He is telling us to beware of the striking resemblance of things which are nonetheless essentially different. The Christ and the Antichrist might at first sight look very similar to each other. It can be very hard to tell whether a person is spiritually alive or whether he is spiritually dead. What is the importance of these observations? And what is the corpse? What is the body? What are the eagles? What are the vultures? Notice that this whole section from Matthew chapter 24 verse 15 to verse 28 deals with the Antichrist. In verse 15, we find the abomination of desolation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, then in verse 24, it speaks about the false Christ and false prophets. For false Christ and false prophet will arise. Then verse 26 immediately brings it down to a single person again. Behold, he is in the wilderness. Behold, he is in the inner rooms. If you see him, don't believe him. He is not the true Christ. He is the Antichrist. And you have to exercise discernment in what you believe. So the Antichrist is the subject of this whole section. And this section ends with verse 28. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. We are led to conclude, given these observations, that the corpse is the Antichrist. The corpse represents the Antichrist, and this Antichrist gathers to itself the vultures. In the last days, it will become increasingly difficult to tell whether a teacher is true or false, whether a prophet is from God or not. There will be many false Christs, all of them trying to deceive the believers. And when the Antichrist comes, showing signs and wonders, manifesting great spiritual power, will we be able to tell whether that power is from God or not? That is where the deception comes in. It will take a great deal of spiritual discernment. That is the point of Jesus' words here. Now, when we see that one passage talks about the living body and the other about the corpse, one talks about eagles and the other about vultures, this is what we need to understand about spiritual discernment. The way to have spiritual perception is not a question of technique. Distinguishing a dead body from a living body might require the measurement of certain physiological parameters, like blood pressure, the oxygen saturation, the electrical cardiac activity. But that does not apply to the spiritual world. It is not a matter of skills. In order not to be deceived, the Lord Jesus tells us, you have to become a certain kind of person. This is very important to remember. We saw that the vulture has a certain nature about it, a certain characteristic. It goes for dead body. Its very nature is attracted to dead animals. The ego, on the other hand, goes for what is alive. It is in his nature to be interested in living things. The question of whether you will perceive the deception of the Antichrist does not depend on whether you have developed a special method of discernment. It does not depend on how much you know about theology. It depends on the nature of your being. In order not to be deceived, we must have a new nature, a nature that seeks what is alive, that seeks for life itself, God's life. If you are a person with an ego nature, the Antichrist will find it very hard to deceive you, because you are simply not interested in dead things. But if you are a person with a vulture nature, the Antichrist will have much more success in drawing your attention. He will appeal to you because your nature is already geared towards the things which are dead. All mankind is divided into these two basic natures. You either go for what is alive, or you go for what is dead. We find this principle in the Lord's teaching about the two roads in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said that there are two roads. One is the broad road, which leads to destruction. The other is the narrow road, which leads to life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Why do so many people go down the broad road of destruction? Because they have the vulture nature. They go for what is dead. They do not necessarily think that it is bad. They do not deliberately choose to be destroyed. But their nature inclines them into the direction of the broad road, at the end of which is death. The people who have the ego nature choose the path of life. They are interested in the narrow road of life, even though it is a difficult road. You see how the nature of the person is the determining factor. Two different kinds of nature, two different kinds of mentality. The Apostle Paul expresses it in this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Paul says. Your whole mentality has to be transformed. In the past, you went for dead things. Now, as Christians, your whole thinking should be renewed. Now you go for the things which are alive. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul explains more specifically what it means to have our mind renewed. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Here's how our thinking is to be changed. Paul said in Romans, let our mind be renewed. Well, renewed from what to what? He did not tell us directly in Romans, but he tells us here in Colossians. Before, your mind was on the things of the earth, but now that you have been raised with Christ into a new kind of life, let your mind also be changed. Seek the things which are above, which are alive. Paul makes this additional point in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, why do we do that? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look for the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are transient, temporal. What are the things which are seen? The material things and all the world values. The things that are on earth. Money, houses, cars, fame, power. The things which are seen are temporary. They last only for a limited time. What are the things that are not seen? Love, righteousness, truth, goodness, mercy. These are the things that will last forever. These things are alive. What we go after shows our mentality. If you have a vulture mentality, you will go after dead things, things that are seen. If you have an ego mentality, you will go after living things, things that are not seen. The Lord is saying, where the corpse is, the vultures will gather there. Where the body is, the ego will gather there. Where you gather depends on what you are. What excites a person in his thinking and in his conversation with others will tell us whether he is more of an ego or more of a vulture. What are the things that delight his mind? What captivates his thinking? What causes him to get excited? That tells a lot about the spiritual nature of that person. In closing, let me ask you this question. Where do you gather? What is your spiritual nature? That of an eagle or that of a vulture?